Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here in the courtroom of current events on Peter's Proffer, and today we are talking about what follows you from Vegas, from anywhere, your record, your criminal record, your civil record. We're going to talk about what stays forever, what people can find with a simple Google search, what can go away, and how you can make it go away. So thanks for listening in. We always get this question, and again, if you have any questions, hit us up on social media at Tragos Law or send an email, petertragos@greeklaw.com. All right, so today we are talking records. What sticks with you forever? Most people, when they mention records, they think about criminal records. So that's where we're going to start. And let's first start, I've got Pete Sardis with me. Let's first start with what is on your criminal record if somebody were to look you up?
All right. In your criminal record in Florida, you have things like misdemeanors, felonies, some traffic infractions. And those are visible to anyone that wants to go see them because they exist on the court's public record.
Okay, let's start with arrests, convictions, what? What's on there? Because you say misdemeanors and felonies, but it's not just convictions, which I think is what most people think is on your criminal record.
That's true. Technically, everything from an arrest, an encounter with law enforcement that leads to something more than just you walking away, all the way through any actual charges, the court process for each one of those cases and the final dispositions and beyond can be on that public record.
So, for example, if you get arrested for possession of marijuana and it turns out it was your friend and they dismiss all the charges, is that on your record?
Yes. The arrest, the court process, and ultimately the dismissal of those charges are on your record.
Okay, let's take it into a non-criminal matter, but it still comes up on your record as if it was a crime. Your spouse calls 911. They come to the scene. No arrests were made, but they make a police report of the complaint. Is that on your record?
Well, is it a domestic violence?
Yes.
Well, what's going to happen in Florida is someone's going to get arrested because it's the policy.
But let's say they don't.
Yes, there will be a record that the police were sent out to do a domestic violence call. If there's no arrest, there won't be a court record because there isn't one.
Right.
But there will be a law enforcement record. So if you check with the particular agency that responded, they will have a record of it.
And that's the crazy thing. So with arrests, it's not criminal convictions. It's not, I did this, I admit I did it, or I went to trial and lost. It doesn't take all that to put it on your record. That's why we always talk about how even arrests or wrongful accusations can ruin somebody's life because that can stick with you forever. Even if you're just arrested, it can stick with you forever. We'll talk about ways that you can get that sealed or expunged, which is what it's called. But, I mean, that by itself goes on your record. Okay, so let's talk about some of the different kinds of records and different things you can plead to and how they come off on your record, starting with juvenile records, juvenile crimes.
All right. First of all, juveniles are not accused of crimes. They're accused of acts of delinquency. It's just totally legalese because they don't like to accuse children of committing crimes. But regardless, every what we would consider a crime exists for children. Anyone under the age of 18 where an arrest has been made is going to go into dependency court, which is the juvenile court. Those records exist. They are not public record. For example, when we represent a minor, we have to actually file certain paperwork in the court to allow us to have access to the court file. But the records themselves exist. Prosecutors have access to them. The courts have access to them. Law enforcement has access to them. People are under the impression also that juvenile records automatically go away when you turn 18. That is not the case unless you've had them juvenile expunged or sealed.
Okay, how do juvenile records affect you, though? Because while they're not found on the public record, if you become an adult, law enforcement and the state attorney's office can still find them.
Absolutely.
So they can still affect your criminal record going forward.
Oh, for sure, because what they'll do is the prosecutors will make charging decisions based on that juvenile history. For example, if it's your first arrest for stealing a car as an adult, you will be treated differently than if it's your first arrest as an adult, but your third arrest because two times before you were arrested as a minor.
Exactly. So what you do as a juvenile still follows you, even if, you know, your girlfriend can't look it up if she Googles you. But there's also a lot of jobs, like government jobs, teaching jobs, military. They can find all that as well.
Absolutely. And one thing that people also don't understand is just because you're a minor doesn't mean your case was in juvenile court. In Florida, any prosecutor can make a determination whether they want to do something called a direct file. And that juvenile case winds up in adult court. So even though you're a kid, doesn't mean your case is in juvenile court.
Right, exactly. So a lot of people don't know that as well. And what's the difference on how your record looks if that happens?
If that happens, let me give you an example. Let's just say it's a DUI and you're 17. That is going to be something they're going to charge you as an adult, meaning you have an adult criminal record for when you were arrested for something that happened prior to you being 18, and you can absolutely find that on the public record.
Right, so it matters on how they prosecute you, not your age.
For sure.
Right. Okay, next, we already talked about arrests. Let's talk about convictions. How do convictions look on your record?
Well, first of all, convictions never go away. They're on there forever. You can't expunge or seal the convictions.
We'll get to the seal and right. expunction differences, but I guess the difference in where I'm going and what I'm looking for in this is arrests, a lot of times you can argue, you know, I didn't do it, you know, it was a wrongful arrest, whatever. But when it's a conviction on your record and you have either pled guilty or been convicted of that, people know and they can see that it actually shows as a conviction or a change of plea to plead guilty. So they know that you actually did or admitted doing whatever this crime is.
Absolutely.
And you can see that in the record,
you
right?
You can see that in the record. And at least in Florida, you can see every court proceeding and how
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So what do you actually see in the record on a case that say lasts 18 months, a lot of hearings and whatever, and you end up pleading guilty at the end or being convicted
right.
in a trial?
You know, we, and I don't know if everybody knows this, but when we have a case that involves a criminal charge or somebody that was charged criminally, we'll actually pull the docket sheet. And in that docket sheet, you can see everything. The lawyers that were assigned, the prosecutor, the judge, every hearing, what time it was, how long it lasted.
If there was a stand your ground hearing, if
any
there was
defense.
An insanity defense.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Any hearing that was had, if charges were dismissed because you won like a suppression motion, for example,
right.
and the state didn't have a leg to stand on, all that's in there.
As well as restitution. If you had to pay the victim back something, whether right. it's a fraud case or an injury case or something like that, if you had to pay restitution, there's a restitution hearing in the court's docket
yes.
as well. So you can see a lot in the court's docket if somebody does look you up and you do have this criminal stuff on your record.
They can also see any plea bargain that got done. So, for example, if you were charged with, you know, serious crime A and then the state reduced it to serious, less serious crime B, you know, that will be in there.
All right, let's move to the next thing that's also very important, sentencing.
Sentencing is in there, and it's frankly a lot more broad than people think it is. It's not just what you got, but it's also, in some cases, whether, how do I put this? The sentencing decisions of the judge are in the record. The sentencing guideline, meaning what your range of possibility was, is in the record. And if there is a deviation from that sentencing recommendation, that's in the record.
In layman's terms, you can see if someone goes to prison, right?
Absolutely.
You can see how long.
For sure. And that stays, you can actually see that on the Department of Corrections website.
You see how much they get fined in court costs and court fines,
yep.
correct? And
correct.
You also see investigative costs, what they had to pay law enforcement for doing this investigation against them. A lot of people don't know you have to do that. A lot of times you have to pay, you know, Pinellas County Sheriff's Office or whoever did your investigation, you have to pay for the hours that these lawyers had to work on your case.
Yes.
It can show, you know, if it's a DUI, it can show that you got ignition interlock.
Right.
Or if you got an ankle bracelet on you.
It even shows if you had the public defender, for example, that you had to pay for the right to use the public defender's office.
Right. What else? Anything else on there as far as sentencing goes?
Beyond that, no. Frankly, I don't know if anybody knows it, when you go to prison, that stays on your credit report for 7 years.
And a lot of this stuff can affect your credit and other civil things in your life. But we'll try to stick to what's on your criminal record for now. Okay, so we talked about convictions. We talked about sentencing, how you can see all that. How does a withhold, first off, what is a withhold of adjudication and how does that affect your record?
A withhold of adjudication is what is called a legal fiction. It is something that the Florida statute allows for the courts to withhold adjudicating someone in certain circumstances.
First, let's start with defining adjudication.
Conviction.
Right. That means you did it. You've been judged and adjudicated guilty, right, which means you've either pled to it or you have been convicted. So adjudication is basically the end and the loser of a criminal case. But if they withhold the adjudication, you still basically admit to the crime or get you lose, but they're withholding that stamp of adjudication,
correct,
basically. Okay, so what does that mean and practically?
Practically speaking, for the state of Florida, it means you were not convicted. You can function in the state of Florida, and if somebody asks if you were convicted of an offense and you had a withhold of adjudication, you can lawfully answer no. There, I don't want to muddy the waters. There are some implications in federal court, especially if you're looking for a gun permit, for example, whether or not a withhold is sufficient. That's for a different topic.
But a lot of times it lessens the sentence, it lessens the punishment, it lessens the disposition. Number two, for people that know, they realize that you can't get a withhold on just anything. You've got to get a withhold on usually a less serious crime, usually if it's your first or very early on crime, and usually if you have some kind of good argument that you either didn't do it, or like we have cases sometimes where there's fraud and they pay back everything that they stole, and therefore they get a withhold of adjudication because it's kind of like no harm, no foul. You shouldn't have done it and it's still on your record, but they're not going to adjudicate you and send you to prison if you paid back the $500 you stole from Walmart.
Well, pursuant to the statute, you can only get withholds of adjudication on misdemeanors and third-degree felonies except DUIs. They're statutorily excluded from withholds. You can't give one.
Right. So, and third-degree felonies are the least offensive felonies. So it's all the lesser crimes what are available for withholds of adjudication. So if that's shown on your record, for instance, if the state attorney's office or if law enforcement looks at that on a future crime, they will realize that it's less severe than something that you were either convicted of or adjudicated guilty of. Okay. Next, let's talk about diversion programs, probation, things that you can do that affect your charges. Some cases have the opportunity where you get arrested, you can do some maybe community service or go through a program for, again, this is for lesser crimes, and then they'll drop all the charges at the end. A lot of those times you have to admit wrongdoing, meaning, yes, I did it and I shouldn't have, and you go through this program, but the end result is that the case gets dismissed and they drop all the charges. So what does that look like on your record?
All right. On the actual court docket, if you go enter into a diversion program, it'll show the arrest, it'll show the case was charged, and then it will show that the case is closed for diversion, meaning that, by the way, diversion programs are run by the state attorney's office, not the court. So the court basically closes the case and lets the prosecutor handle it. Here's the deal. The documentation that you provide in the course of a diversion program may be in the court file, but even if it's not in the court file, if anybody would do a public records request, we have what's called a sunshine law here in Florida, which means you can request any record that's public, they'll still be able to get those documents. So they're out there, but they're a little harder to find.
And the arrest is still there.
Absolutely.
Like we talked about before. Even if all the charges get dropped, the arrest is still there. And then to take it a step further, where this is really, really important in a lot of people's cases, is if you have a subsequent crime or criminal act, the state attorney's office, law enforcement, they will see that you went through this diversion program and they're not going to treat this as your first offense. Even though it technically is and you can still get maybe a lesser penalty, they're going to realize when they look at you with the generally bad guy rule, they're going to realize you've been in this situation before and they gave you a chance and now you're back here again. They're not going to take kindly to that. So they can still see that you were arrested and you went through the diversion program, as opposed to, like I said before, some kid gets arrested for smoke and pop, but it's actually his friends, and they drop those charges. Those are not the same as if you go through a diversion program and get the charges dropped.
Because to get into a diversion program, you actually have to admit wrongdoing.
Exactly. All right. So the next topic and part of this, which is one of the more interesting things that Florida allows along with withhold of adjudication, is sealing and expunction. Can you explain that process and what it is?
Sure. There are two separate statutes in Florida. One is sealing, which literally means if you get granted sealing, that the clerk's office takes your file and puts a piece of tape on it, which means it is not accessible to anybody except law enforcement, the government, military, and the Department of Education. Expunction means that the record is actually destroyed. It is no longer available for anybody's review. That's the difference between the two. So what is it? It is your opportunity in some cases to be able to go to court and ask the court to remove the criminal record from, and this is the important part, the public record, not your Facebook page.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about what crimes are actually allowable under the sealing and expunction statute, because it's not everything. You can't go, you know, get convicted of DUI and then get that sealed. Well, what that works and what doesn't?
That's the point. You cannot seal or expunge any conviction. You can seal or expunge a case that was dismissed. You can seal or you can seal a withhold of adjudication, and after 10 years, you can move to have it expunged.
Okay, so to be clear again, like we've talked about, usually these are less serious crimes that you get a withhold, and that's also what's so important about that withhold is you may admit some wrongdoing, you have a withhold of adjudication, but you may be able to get that sealed and then 10 years later expunged, which is really important than if you just plead guilty to something.
Right. And but the caveat is you get one shot at this. You can only...
So if I have three withholds in 5 years, can I get that sealed or expunged?
Under your circumstances, you can pick one.
Okay.
Now, there are times where if the cases are related or they were sentenced on the same day, I mean, we've been creative.
What about if I have a conviction 10 years ago and then I get arrested yesterday? Can I get that arrest sealed or expunged?
No, because you have a conviction on your record.
So if you have a prior conviction and you have to fill out this whole packet of information and you put this information in there and they straight up ask you, have you ever been convicted of anything before and when?
Right.
And if the answer is yes to that, they're not going to seal or expunge whatever your subsequent thing is.
That's correct. You're just not eligible.
Okay. So what so we've been on what is allowed. What is prohibited?
What I call major crimes are not expungible.
So if you get arrested for murder, but then the charges get dropped, can you get that expunged or sealed? Okay.
Because murder, think of it this way. There's a huge list of statutes that do not qualify for sealing or expunction. Again, DUI being one of those.
Right, and they actually list it out specifically, right. So lawyers don't have it all memorized. Usually it's the less serious crimes.
Generally it's, you know, violent crimes.
Hold on. Let's just make sure what we're talking
are
about.
Are not
okay.
Sealed or expungible.
Okay, so go ahead.
So major violent crimes, sex crimes, terrorism, trafficking offenses, gun charges.
And then DUI for some reason is on that list.
DUI, yes.
Right. Okay, what about acquittals? You go to trial, you win, you get acquitted from the case after you've been arrested and you know gone through the whole process. Can you get that expunged?
You know, it's as counterintuitive as it is, you cannot. Because the way the statute's written, you can only seal or expunge cases that have been dismissed, meaning not prosecuted, or in some instances withhold. If you actually go to trial and you win, you are acquitted, there's nothing in the statute that allows you to take that record out of the public view.
Okay. And let's lastly just finish with, what is the process of getting something sealed and expunged? What do you actually have to have a lawyer do for you?
The process itself isn't complicated, but it's very time consuming and it's detail oriented. So what has to happen is you've got to fill out certain documents. You've got to get a certificate of eligibility from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So you have to make sure you've got all of their documents and all of your paperwork notarized and sent to the right place. It takes about a year for them to figure it out. There's money that has to be sent. You have to get fingerprints done. And once all that happens, presuming you get your certificate of eligibility, now you've got to go back to court, file the appropriate motion, have a hearing. And then really the technical part starts, making sure each law enforcement agent that was involved in the arrest, conviction, the jail, anybody that could have a record is notified. Because you can't seal something that you haven't noticed to be sealed.
Okay, and the reason that's so important, again, and why you have to get fingerprinted and all that stuff is because you only get one shot. You only get to do this once. Once you've had something sealed or expunged, you can't do it again.
Right. There's no what I call, there's no go backs because I forgot a law enforcement agency or a, you know, I forgot to add the sheriff's office that I spent the night in jail.
Right. Okay, so before we move on to civil records, let's lastly hit on mugshots.
Mugshots have changed a lot in the last couple of years. What wound up happening was, and I think a lot of people know these like websites that fish for public records.
Oh, yeah. And then they tell you for $300, we'll take it off. But right. Only that one website, they probably own 10 more websites that have your mugshot.
And I think the law enforcement agencies realize that it was a racket. So what they've done is a lot, and I don't know.
When he says a racket, he means like a scheme to defraud people out of money, making them pay you to take your mugshot down when they just put it up on another website.
Right. So a lot of the law enforcement agencies in the state of Florida have stopped putting your actual photo up there, but your arrest record, you can go to any county, put in who's in jail, and put in a name, and it will tell you if anybody's been in that jail.
It's not nearly as bad as it used to be. We just had a trial recently where it was very difficult to get this person's mugshot, but some of them are still out there. You can still find some of them on certain websites. You can still find some of them on the public record as well, but it's a lot harder and a lot different than it used to be. It used to just be like mugshots.com or whatever, had everybody's mugshot from everywhere anytime they'd ever been arrested. So mugshots, that kind of changed a little bit how that affects your record. Okay, now let's get into the civil record side, which a lot of people aren't as concerned about, but it can really blow up in your face depending on what you're doing. Like if you do file a lawsuit or if you are going through something, it can be used against you that you filed 10 other lawsuits or you've been sued 10 times. And that stuff follows you forever. So let's talk about first what is in the civil public record for people if they want to look up what's happened to you recently civilly.
There's two sides to civil records. The first side is official records, meaning court documents that are recorded with the clerk's office. Those are all public record. In fact, those are things you want to be public record. The mortgage to your house, the fact that you own your house. If you've served in the military, your discharge paperwork, all that stuff.
Whether your house is homesteaded.
Yeah, for sure. Those are in the official record. Those are things you put out into the public eye because you want people to be aware of them. And then there's court records. Court records are what you would think of, just like in the criminal side, the complaint that you filed, the discovery that was requested, any depositions that were taken for any civil case, except for probate and dependency matters, meaning you want to adopt a child, things like that.
So let's stop there for a second. So we talked about juvenile crimes and how there are extra protections on that. In juvenile civil cases, are those searchable? And what protections do we give to juveniles who are involved in civil cases?
Right. Every time there's a minor involved and it's actually their claim, the law requires you to use their initials opposed to their name, first of all.
Correct.
And you can't actually go and get adoption records or something involving a probate that involves a child. Those are sealed.
So you basically, what the complaint looks like is John Smith as guardian of LS, which is his daughter's name, but it just says LS. Her name's not actually in there. And if you were to do a public record search on her, it would not come up because it's just her initials.
Correct. But, you know, like you said, take it one step further. I do a record search for the parents. And if I see on behalf of the initials of the child, then, you know,
you can figure it out. But usually, I mean, I would think that doesn't happen as much as you would think because people just look up the person's name. Like if she's 30 years old now, they're not going to look up the mother's name as guardian of. Right. They're more likely just to look up her name.
And technically, you didn't actually, as a child, bring the lawsuit.
Exactly.
Your parent did.
Okay, so this means that any time that you sue somebody, it's in the public record and people can see that.
Yes, sir.
And every time you get sued, whether it's in a car accident, whether it's a slip and fall claim, whether it's you did something at work, whether it's an injunction that your wife or your kid or somebody brought against you, you can see all that in the public record.
All of that. Workers' compensation claims, car accidents, slip and falls, contract disputes, evictions, it's all the public record.
Injunctions.
Oh, yeah.
Divorces, are those in the public record?
They are. Okay. Again, just like any other civil case, the juvenile side of it, meaning whatever happened with the kids, will be sealed, but the actual proceedings for the divorce, which, by the way, are super juicy if you ever wanted to go look at somebody's divorce file.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times in our cases when somebody's getting deposed and they ask if they've ever been a party of a lawsuit before, they'll say no because they're not thinking their divorce is actually a lawsuit that they're a party of, but in fact it is, and the other side usually has that public record because it's very easy to find.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about something that's not a lawsuit, but that's still easily findable by the people you don't want to find it, which is filing an insurance claim, either if you were injured in a car accident or homeowner's insurance claim, if there's property damage or any kind of insurance claim.
The insurance companies generally share information with each other. There is something that, and if you go to your agent, your insurance agent, ask them, they'll normally call it a clue report. They'll run a clue report on you. And what that means, it's called the Comprehensive Loss Underwriting Exchange. And it is the medium in which insurance companies put information into the system that talks about every claim that has been processed through their office in both directions. They paid or their client was sued.
And, I mean, they go back to 1988 sometimes, and they can see that you have a car accident claim.
Oh, for sure. 5 to 7 years is absolutely guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Because in recent technology, there's enough storage out there to be able to keep it. But I have seen, and I think you've seen them too, things back in the day, way back.
Absolutely. They go way further back than 5 to 7 years on some of this stuff. Now, 5 to 7 years, usually they can get that file.
Yes.
But if it's 20 years old, they can't get the file. So a lot of times they'll be like, well, did you treat for it or what were your injuries? They don't know. They can just see that you did, in fact, file a claim 20 years ago.
Correct. And again, I think it's a matter of technology. In the last, you know, however many years, between 5 to 7 years, and I use that generally, there's enough storage out there. You can actually see the entire record, every document that was filed, your signature blocks on your paperwork, everything.
Okay. Next, let's just jump into this briefly. Bankruptcy. What's on the public record when that happens?
Again, bankruptcy, now this is a federal proceeding, and federal courts also have Freedom of Information Act. That is the federal version of the Sunshine Law. And you can
go... That's how you get the public record.
That's how you get the public record, and it's available for you, is if you ask. And frankly, you can go to the courthouse.
So what can people find?
Everything. Just like in state court, I can go to federal court and look up your criminal, your civil, your bankruptcy case.
Right, but let's talk about specifically. So what can you find? Can you see how much they owe? Can you see what assets they
Absolutely.
Have?
Absolutely. You actually will see the documents that they file saying how much they owe versus how much they have. You will see the names of all the creditors that were listed. You will see what the judge held in regards to who got what.
What their creditor's plan is,
sure,
or whatever debtor's plan.
You also get to see what I call the embarrassing things when the judge says, I don't care that you want to go to Little Billy's baseball game. Little Billy doesn't have baseball this year because you've got to pay the car, you know, the payment. So they'll take money out of your accounts for certain things. All of that, garnishments, all that is in there.
Okay. Next, let's move on to another thing I think some people maybe just don't think about rather than don't know as a public record, which is your driver's license.
Yeah, your driver's license is, in fact, a public record.
And what can you see on somebody's driver's license?
What can you see? You can see... If I pull your driver's license, I can see your traffic history. I can figure out what tickets you've had, what if you've ever had any criminal traffic.
Meaning a DUI, a hit and run.
Yes.
You can also see if somebody's ever refused the breath test before.
Yes.
Or refused the field sobriety exercises. That goes on your driver's license.
We can even see some less heinous things like what cars you own. Where you live is associated with your driver's license.
You also can see... if there's ever been a suspension on somebody's license or how many points they've had on their license and things like that. You can never see if there's ever been a lapse in somebody's driver's license. You can find out a lot by looking up somebody's driver's license record.
In fact, you can go to the courthouse and pull what's called a 30-day traffic search on pretty much anybody. And it's not the last 30 days. It's good for the last 30 days. So it's everything that's been on their driver's license up until 30 days ago.
And along with that, how long does a traffic ticket actually stay on your license?
Well, depends on the traffic ticket. In Florida, minor infractions stay on between 3 and 5 years. I'm not saying that there aren't older ones out there, but the clerk's offices are obligated to at least keep that much. More serious traffic offenses, they're required to be kept for about 10 to 15 years. DUIs and like homicides, things like that, 75 years at a minimum.
Okay, so the moral of the story is, just about everything that's done officially is in a public record. You can get rid of some of it. I guess before we end, is there any way you can get rid of these civil things on your record? Can you ever get rid of the fact that you sued somebody or that you were sued?
Not that I'm aware of. There's no legal recourse to remove those things from the public record.
All right. So with that, make sure you only do stuff that you really believe in. Make sure you only file lawsuits you really want to pursue. Make sure you don't ever get arrested or put yourself in the situation that you could get arrested, because that will follow you forever. So thanks for listening in with us, and keep the questions coming in. We'll be with you guys next time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.